All right, let's open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your presence today. And Lord, how you've touched each one of us. And Lord, as we open up the word together, we thank you, Lord, that your word is spirit and it is life. And so, Lord, we pray for the release of your wisdom and counsel to each one of us, Lord, that we can apply this word in our own lives. Lord, that we become the word. Let the word of God live in us. Lord, we just thank you for your truth today. Set us free from anything that would be holding us back or hindering us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing this. Is our last Sunday on the peace of God. And if you need a card, is there anyone here that did not receive a peace of God card? Anybody? Okay. All right, we just want to make sure everybody had one of those. Next week, or our next month, our theme will be Proclamations of a Servant's Heart. And so we're excited about that. And then the month after that, it's Overcomers. March is Overcomer Month. So God is leading us, guiding us, directing us. And I just have to tell you, I got a letter from Micah. I'm so excited. Finally heard from him from basic training. And, of course, they keep them really busy and they really don't have time to write. So when I wrote him, I put a self-addressed stamped envelope and a piece of paper in his letter. You know, write your Mimi, please. So last week he got to call home for the first time. Quick call is all they get. And then he has time to write sometime on Sunday. But this Mimi was really excited because he has found a church on base that he loves. Isn't that wonderful? I was so excited. You know, that makes me really happy. And Vanessa and I are going out the end of February for his graduation. And so he's so excited to take us to church. And so we're really excited about that. And you thank God when your adult children begin to pursue the Lord on their own path to continue that relationship. You know, we might have drug you to church when you were kids and made you go and made you get out of bed. But when you are on your own, you got to make that decision on your own. Yes, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to worship with the people of God. So excited about that. So that gave me some peace. Hallelujah. So we're going to just continue this morning. I'm not going to keep you long, but I did want to at least start this message, and you can study the rest of it on your own. But this is the fruit of spiritual peace. We're going to talk about spiritual peace this morning. And what kind of fruit are you producing in your life? What kind of fruit comes out of you? We all have fruit, and God refers to us many times in the scripture as a tree. So we're going to read together Matthew 7, 17 through 20, and let's read that together. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So God refers to us many times in the scripture as trees, and trees have a root system. And depending upon what kind of tree it is, and the root system is the kind of fruit that that tree produces. And so he talks about our fruit, and he says that we're going to be known by our fruit. If you're a negative, obnoxious person, people know you by that fruit, right? If you're a kind and generous person, people know you by that fruit. Do you understand what we're talking about, spiritual fruit, this morning? Okay, so I found a interesting article. It's everything I need to know I learned from trees. So, first point, it's important to have a root system. In today's complex world, It pays to branch out. Don't pine away over old flames. If you really believe in something, don't be afraid to go out on a limb. Be flexible so you don't break when a harsh wind blows. Sometimes you have to shed your old bark in order to grow. If you want to maintain accurate records, keep a log. Grow where you're planted. It's perfectly okay to be a late bloomer. Avoid people who would like to cut you down. Get all spruced up when you have a hot date. If the party gets boring or dangerous, just leave. You can't hide your true colors as you approach the autumn of your life. And the last one, it's more important to be honest than popular. Everything I ever needed to know. Not really, but that was the title of it. We're going to look at Psalm verses 1 through 3. Because the psalmist refers to us as being like trees that are planted by living waters. So let's read that together. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So the scripture is telling us that this person's focus and motivation is not to be prosperous, nor is it to be successful. And you see, that's where we get things mixed up. But he's blessed because he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So if he's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, he must be walking in the counsel of the godly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He's not standing in the same path with those who are sinning. He's getting out of that path. He's not going down that road anymore. But you see, the whole motivation isn't so that he will be successful. It is because he loves God. And it goes on and it says, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Being scornful means to put your mouth on something. It means to mouth at it, to scoff at it, to mock at it. It's to ridicule it. And don't we have that running rampant in our culture? If you're not careful, you can jump right on that bandwagon and you can find yourself sitting in the seat of the scornful. His motivation and his delight is to meditate in the law of God. Day and night. Day and night he meditates in God's word. It's always on his mind. He walks in godly counsel and meditates on God's word. This person is like a tree planted by rivers of water. And this is what causes us to produce spiritual fruit. He is sustained by the living water. And God often refers to his word as living water. It sustains us. It nourishes us. It is our food. Give us this day, O Lord, our daily bread. We need daily bread. We must be feeding our spiritual man, or that spiritual man is going to wither up and dry up. It doesn't just happen all by itself. We would like for God just to wave a magic wand over us, or just to say one prayer and it all be taken care of. But that is not how it works with God. God wants us to continually walk in His counsel. Day and night covers a large period of time, right? Day and night. That's pretty clear. So God's thoughts are on our mind, His word in our heart, day and night. And then the scripture says, and whatever He does shall prosper. So His attitude is to please the Father. When our attitude is to know God, to know Him more intimately, to have a relationship with Him, then we become prosperous and successful. It doesn't happen any other way. There are people sitting in this place this morning that are testimonies of how God has blessed their lives. Almost any one of you could stand up and share how your life changed when you gave your heart to the Lord. When you became that tree that was planted by living water. When you gave your life over and you said, no, I'm not taking this counsel from ungodly, sinning people anymore. They're out there giving you advice on how to raise your children when their children are living like hell. Come on. You know, and they're telling you how to take care of your marriage when they can't even keep their marriage together. Don't give me counsel if you've been married 5 times. I don't want to hear it from you. It's the truth. But this is what goes on in the world. You know, you sit down and somebody wants to give you advice. No, we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't have to say, no, that's ungodly. I'm not going to listen to you. That's not going to fly. But you know how to excuse yourself and just pray and do what Elder Sylvia does and just take that off of you. It's like, no, that ain't going to stick to me. I don't want that. I'm going to walk in the counsel of the godly. And you know, when we meditate on God's word, we know that what they're telling us is not right. When you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you know that that is not right. That is the truth. And you know what? God will give you wisdom how to bring an adjustment to that. You know, sometimes I think if you're going to be so bold to tell me that, well, then I'm just going to be bold in the Holy Ghost and just share with you right back what the Word says. Amen. You know, this is what we've ran into in these end times. Jim read about it this morning. People have tickling ears and they want ministers to tell them everything that they want to hear. Well, that is not good for us. We will not grow if we're constantly hearing whatever we want to hear. God's Word tells it like it is. And we cannot make God into the image that we want. And when we stray away from the Word of God, we begin to form an idea, an opinion of God that is contrary to His attributes and His nature. We don't get to vote. And our opinion really doesn't matter. And that's hard for most people because they think their opinion is something that's really, really important. But you know, as far as God is concerned, you can just keep your opinion to yourself. Because His word is clear. It is clear on how we receive His peace. You know, I believe that we have a generation of people, adults, who have been fatherless. They act like children who have never had a father. And they are absolutely miserable. And they are trying to change laws. Well, if we can just make it legal to do this, then we're going to feel better. fatherless generation who are so unhappy with themselves. You know, you cannot know your own identity without knowing the Father. God gave us our identity. We cannot know our identity if we do not know Him. We'll never be satisfied in this life if we do not know our Heavenly Father. But there are lots of vices out there that we can try. There are lots of places we can go to try to fill that hunger that's in our soul. But we're not going to find it because we're walking and standing in the path of the sinner. Until that relationship between me and God is mended, people are miserable because they don't have a relationship with God. That's why it's so important to share your testimony, to hand out a book. When the Holy Spirit's nudging you, we are God's mouthpiece in the earth today. We are the ruling church in the earth today. We are to be the ones that are leading the way, not the world telling us what to do. We're to be the light that is set on the hill, that is shining. You know, we have backpedaled. When I prayed this morning, I prayed about that because we've turned over so many things to the government. And you know what? The government cannot do it. And there's a younger generation growing up thinking that if they just take money from the rich, then the government's going to take care of them and there's going to be distribution and everything's going to be fine. And I'm telling you, the government messes stuff up all the time. The only government that is perfect is God's kingdom and His government. There is no end. And so we've got to get ourselves under the covering of the kingdom of God and the government of God. And when we are walking in the kingdom authority and understanding, we can stay true to what the Lord is telling us to do. And what He's telling us to say. God is raising up righteous people who understand kingdom principles all over this nation. They are rising up. You know, it's like it's time to stop just taking it. Just taking it. You know, we tolerate too much. The Lord scolded me a few years ago about accommodating things. You can't accommodate. You can't give accommodation to sin. We can't accommodate that. Is there an amen?
Amen.
We can't accommodate it. If we accommodate it, then we're as good as doing it ourselves. Is that right? You can't accommodate that. In your own life, in your family's life, there are some things you just cannot accommodate. You know, there is a time and there's a grace period and God has that with us. And then pretty soon, I don't know about you, but He'll just lower the hammer. And when He says, Janet, I know I'm in trouble. He says my name two times. It's like, oh Lord, I should have listened the first time. Right? Amen. We know what we're talking about. So we are trees that are planted by living water. And our lives will produce fruit because we know our Heavenly Father. We meditate in His Word. And we follow His godly counsel and those that He puts around us. We should be thankful for godly counsel and pray for our leaders and those who speak into our life. Nobody has made it this far on their own. And you cannot make it in this world without surrounding yourself with the people of God. That's why the Lord said, do not neglect gathering together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we see the day approaching. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You just read the headlines. Read the headlines. And you find out that the devil's trying to change laws and seasons to wear out the saints, is what the scripture says. He's trying to wear us out. And actually that wear out means mental fatigue. Mental fatigue. That's why we know about these things and we pray about these things, but it is God and the armies in heaven that began to change them from the heavenlies to the earth. And what you're supposed to be involved in, whatever's your fight, whatever's your battle right here on earth in this city or wherever you live, get in it and get in it 100%. But don't jump in a battle that's not yours, because the enemy will take you out. We've got to know and be wise. We have to be wise in this season. Wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. Because we know where to be involved and where not to be involved. Not that we don't pray for that battle over there, but I know I've been invited into a lot of battles, and I have to seek God, and it's like, no, that's not my battle. I can't be on the front lines of that one, but I will be praying. Because I have a front line battle someplace else. And so you walk rank and file. You know that. I'm excited about going down for graduation and watching the airmen walk together, rank and file. There's just something about that. Unity. That was one thing Micah said in his letter. He said, we have 46 guys and only 8 shower heads. So, you know what? You got to learn to get in and out of the shower. I just laugh because Micah likes long showers. Yeah. But he said, in the process of only having 8 shower heads and having to get the dorm clean, beds made and all that, he said, we are learning to work together as a team. And I thought, yes. Because that's the goal. The goal of the military is to get you to die to yourself. You're in the army of the Lord. Do you know what God does to us? He crucifies that flesh. We've got to die to ourselves so that Jesus Christ can live in us. You know, and he's been indoctrinated with the Air Force history and rules and regulations and so many military terms. I don't know how you did it, Richard. I read through those and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could memorize all of this or not. And who to salute and who not to salute. And we've got instructions, always walk on their left side because the right hand has to be free to salute at any time. And so there's a lot of protocol, you know, and how casual we become as soldiers in the army of the Lord. Don't we? When you're reading all of that, it's like, do we know the law? Are we meditating in it day and night so we know what to do? Hallelujah. God is good. And you know what? I'm not going to go any further than that. Because you have an outline and you can study. I'm going to ask Emil if he'll come on up and just play. We're not going to sing our closing song, but we are just going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. So if you'll just stand to your feet this morning. Father, we thank you for spiritual fruit in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that if we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. So Lord, I thank you for hungry people this morning. I sense that in the spirit realm. This is a hungry group. You wouldn't have showed up this morning if you weren't hungry. You know, you would have stayed home. And it's pretty tempting. I sitting in my lazy girl chair this morning praying, looking out the patio door and all that snow. And the dogs come in covered with snow. And I'm just thinking, oh, it's cold. It's so nice and warm and cozy in here. Kick my feet up. And it's like, no, you shake yourself. You got to get to church. You got to get to church. We're hungry for the presence of the Lord. And when we gather, there's something that ignites in our spirit. Lord, we thank you for that igniting today. Lord, we thank you. Lord, that you know the concerns of every person that is standing here today. God, you know what we're faced with in this coming week. And Lord, I thank you that you hold each one of us in the palm of your hand. I just want you to get a picture that you're in the palm of the Father's hand. You have a heavenly Father. You have identity and purpose in this earth because God is your Father. Thank you, Lord, as you hold us this morning, that you love on us this morning. And Lord, I pray for every person here today, Lord, that's dealing with anger. And what I'm hearing is an accusatory spirit accusing other people. Lord, I pray for them, Lord God, that they'll repent today, that they will not be scornful any longer. Lord, that you remove the bitterness from our hearts. Lord, that you remove the anger from our hearts. You know, many times we don't even know it's there until God puts us in a situation, all of a sudden, there that thing is. Lord, I thank you that you love us even though that's in our hearts. And God, I pray right now for each person. Lord, you know what's in our hearts. You said our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We really can't know our own heart until God shows us. You see, we cannot do anything on our own without the help of our Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you that you bring us to the realization that our life is yours. And we can do nothing on our own. I'm thinking of Jesus when he said, I only do what the Father shows me to do. So show us, Lord. Show me, Lord. Ask the Lord. Show me, Lord. Show me this week, Lord. Show me what to do. Show me what's in my heart that needs to be taken care of this morning. Lord, I thank you that there is no condemnation. And so I just sense in the spirit that some of you are dealing with some condemnation. You condemn yourself because you're not the way you know you're supposed to be. So, Lord, whether that is people standing in this congregation or people that are listening on the internet, Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word says there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you that you break the power of that limiting condemnation that's in our minds. Yes, someone else could do it better than us. And yes, we probably didn't do it well enough. So Lord, set us free today from limiting condemnation. And I pray that over myself. I repent of that. I had a friend ask me this last week. They said, are you hard on yourself? You know? Well, yeah. So I break that off of myself in the mighty name of Jesus. I repent of that. Because, Lord, you said there's no condemnation to those who are in you. And, Lord, you're molding us and making us. Our identity's in you. You're molding us and making us, Lord. So sometimes that accusatory spirit comes right back at ourselves. We accuse ourselves. I'm just seeing that in the spirit realm, how that makes a circle of condemnation and accusing. Lord, we break that cycle in Jesus' name. We break it in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we break that cycle off of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, let freedom come. Freedom. Can you shout freedom?
Freedom!
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 Freedom! Let's give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's no God like our God. Hallelujah. He sets our souls free. Tell your neighbor, I'm free. I'm free. This is a free tree here. Going out on a limb, right? We're going to take a risk with Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to ask if the elders will come forward this morning. If you need prayer today, they are here to serve you, to pray for you. We have a prophetic team. If they showed up today, if those members are here today, prophetic ministry down on this side. If you came for a personal word today, personal ministry, you can come over here. And we might need to draft Janice, if you can come on up and pray too. Thank you. Well, Father, bless us and keep us this week. Keep us warm. We pray over our pipes. Amen. Keep the pipes flowing in Jesus' name. Keep the furnaces going in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you take care of everything that concerns us this week. We know the cold's coming, but you've got this. God's got this. Tell somebody close to you, God's got this. God's got this. God loves you. All right, you're released to go. Safe travels on your way home. We love you.